got a message for us. You've got an email. You've got a text. You want to say something to us to help us with our own individual lives. And we want to give you all the praise and all the honor and all of the glory in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We get the lights.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. For prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And I know you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Amen. That's kind of what this class has been about. Yes, Reggie.
I just want to thank everybody for praying for me last weekend. Friday morning at 5 o'clock, I left from Portland, Indiana. Preached over the weekend up there. Left at 12:30 after the church service Sunday, drove back. My cousin drove my truck back 900-something miles. But on Sunday morning, I preached the healing service. And this man came up to me and he said, 4 years ago, you prayed for me to be healed of cancer, and I was healed. So he's still in the healing business. The secret is believing in him and what he'll do.
Amen. Yes, Reg. Barry.
That points out just what Laura was singing about, the trials of this life.
Or the blessing.
The mercies in disguise.
We got to remember that, the disguise, right? Wasn't Jesus suffering on the cross a disguise? Today's about forgiveness, and we'll probably spend several weeks on it because it's such a very important subject. And over the, just kind of paraphrase the first paragraph there, we all have what we call inner wounds in our life. And there's many. You read our Free to Be You book or talk to Pastor Russ and Barbara. There's lots of elements to heal those inner wounds. The main one is forgiveness, at least the first one. Second paragraph. Forgiveness was a death blow that defeated Satan. Unforgiveness gives Satan a license to operate in your life. The Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 2, 10-11 about Satan taking advantage of us through unforgiveness. It says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive, Paul said. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Look at this. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen? So unforgiveness is a big one. Now we're going to go into some deep, what I call, descriptions. To give you a pictorial of what forgiveness really is and how it's not only difficult, but it's very easy. It's both. I want to plant a vision at you at this point. Let me see, who's doing this? Jeff? Did I ask you to help me with a... Jeff, come up here. Scott? Okay. I guess I can be the third one. I'll be the third guy. One of you get down here. If you've been in this class very long, you've seen this little enactment. Okay. Picture yourselves with someone screaming at you words of insult, especially that are not true. You scream insults to him.
You have done wrong. You're not listening to me.
Now, what we got going, for those of you who are listening to it on audio, we've got a guy on my left and a guy on my right, and the guy on the left is a perpetrator. And he's abusing the guy on the right. Okay? Picture that sin going into your heart. Okay? We know that does, because amen? Now picture Jesus stepping in between you and the perpetrator and see that sin is going into his heart. But try it again. Try to curse him again.
Done wrong. You're not listening to me.
Where's the sin going? Now, believing in that truth is forgiveness. Listen to this. Stay here a minute. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:12. And he bore the sins of many. I was sitting here bearing that sin. Didn't Jesus bear the sin of everybody?
Yes.
Not everybody understands this enactment here. That it didn't really go into you. It did, because you didn't believe this. But once you believe this, everybody, by the way, you're welcome to comment or ask questions. Okay, guys, sit down. You need to apologize to him. During this class, any testimonies, anything you want to say or ask, we're going to go slow, okay?
Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
The one thing I seen when you did that
is that as long as Jeff stayed behind you, it couldn't touch him.
That's right.
Because Jesus blocks it. But it's when we decide that we're going to move Jesus out of the way and we're going to take the blow ourselves.
Even in our mind, isn't that true?
Correct.
Just even in our mind. This could be a mind game. Amen, guys?
So, yes, sir. Hang on.
So Scott was playing the accuser.
Right.
And throwing all sorts of insults like, you're no good.
Right.
You'll never amount to anything. Right. It was all your fault what happened.
Right.
And all that type of accusation is really the adversary.
And there's something else about this. I don't have the scriptures to show it, but it's because I didn't have time to really study it. But I know I've read enough about it that if Jeff was standing here and he says, "Oh no, I'm the victim of this. I've been victimized by that guy." It's very dangerous. We can't become victims. Because the victim, very often, not all the time, takes on the personality of the perpetrator. It can happen very, very easily. Not all the time. I personally know some areas where that didn't happen. But even if you just look in secular psychology, they know that. The victim will take on the personality. So when something happens to you, say, "Lord, I'm not a victim. Even though I might feel like it right now, no, sir, I'm not." Why? Because Jesus bore that. He was the victim. Wasn't he victimized by everything that we did? Wasn't he the victim for everything? Can you imagine the billions and billions and billions of horrible sins on that one man on the cross? I just don't believe we can possibly understand what happened on the cross, everything. Possibly understand when he said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." How could he have done that? When you agree with the truth that you have forgiven, with the truth that you have been forgiven, and you are set free. He bore the sins perpetrated against you as well as the sins you have committed. Now, also, the sin that Scott did, I was standing in the way there too. Right? And so when Scott gets convicted, he knows that Jesus bore that sin that he did. So there's forgiveness that you have to forgive somebody else, and there's forgiveness that you have to get forgiven for. Those two ways. And Carol and I were studying something from the Priscilla Shriver Bible study that she's in, who reminded us that there's sort of two big mountains of forgiveness. The first one is redemption or the rescue. In other words, we are forgiven when we get saved. Is that right? But then we have to get forgiven every hour, every day when we get sanctified.
And we have to forgive.
And we have to forgive. Every hour, every day, right?
It seems so bizarre that the human condition is such that
that Jeff, who could have received the insults into his heart, could just open the door, Satan rushes right in, and this feeling of, as you termed it, a victim, or this, I would say, anger towards the insult hurler towards Scott becomes Jeff's friend, and he carries it around with him, and his anger just is seething inside him, and it clouds
everything. Doesn't it cloud his relationship with the Lord?
Of course.
Is that the biggest thing?
Yeah.
And if you cloud your relationship with the Lord, then all you're in touch with is a bunch of precepts and concepts and religion.
You're not in touch with him personally.
Even as we talk about this, I'm reminded of some actions taken against me when I was in the military by my commander 50 years ago. And I had never forgiven him until I'd even forgotten that I'd not forgiven him until just now.
Really?
And now I know I forgive him, and in light of what's taken place in all these years, what took place back then was so insignificant. Mm. He did it twice. He did it once, and then he rubbed salt in the wound. So I forgive him, and I just pray that God, in this period of time, has worked some of these miracles in his life that he's working in ours.
By the way, I just noticed there's a breakfast dish back there that I think Lisa brought or somebody. If you want to go back there and grab you some and eat one, looks good.
It was very good.
It was very good.
Yeah.
You're welcome to grab you a plate of it if you want to. Can we move on? Everybody got any questions or comments? Okay. I challenge you all to practice that daily, hourly. Okay. Jesus' mission is stated in Isaiah 61, and as he spoke in Luke 4, he only spoke part of Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. He didn't speak the whole thing, okay? It's to set us free through forgiveness from the things that enslave us. It says in Luke 4, which is only part of Isaiah 61, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. That's Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody say the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Luke 4, 17 through 21. The acceptable year of the Lord referred to the year of Jubilee as described in Leviticus 25. This was the Sabbath of Sabbaths. The Sabbath year was every seventh year during which time people were to allow their land to rest. However, each 50th year was a year of Jubilee. That's what Jesus was referring to. This is when all the slaves were set free and all the mortgaged land and the loans were forgiven. Can you imagine that? In short, this was the year of total forgiveness, and Jesus proclaimed the final fulfillment of this promise to him. This year of Jubilee began the Day of Atonement, which was the one day each year where the priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood for atonement and forgiveness of our sins. Interestingly enough, many, many years ago, but I was old enough to remember this, in the state of California, if you foreclosed on a piece of property, it would take you a year or 2 years, I'm not sure, to actually conclude that foreclosure. You remember that, Russ? Have you heard that? And that was sort of their way of going back to this acceptable year. In other words, you know, we gave you a chance to be set free. But finally, they couldn't handle it anymore. They had to change the law. So it's more like Georgia now. Foreclosed, bang, 30 days, that's it, you know. But they did recognize it partially for a while. That's what I mean, the right of redemption.
For a period of time.
Thank you. That's it. That was it.
Has that been done away with? The state?
Yeah. Forgiveness is the surgery that removes our sins. It is the major step towards healing. It is much like physical surgery. Now listen to this. I want you to remember this, underline it, memorize it. The word forgive means to remove. The root word is death, which means to separate. When you say forgive, it doesn't mean to excuse. It means to take a surgical knife and cut something out and move it. Am I getting close to home? Yes, Leona.
Often when you forgive, like things that happened in my childhood after my mother died, and I learn to pray for those people and forgive them. And years later, I could not even remember the things that they had done to me or why I was asking forgiveness for them. So it is a healing thing, and it helps you to move on, because what you can't remember, you won't do again. Okay?
So forgive is a word, the actual Greek word, maybe the Hebrew word also, means to remove. When you talk about the word death, death means to remove something, to separate something. Humans attempt to medicate their inner wounds with outer ointments. Well, I've got a scratch on my finger, I'm going to put some Neosporin on it. Right? But if you got a scratch in your heart, you can't put Neosporin on it. You've got to go through the healing process with the Lord. The problem is that we do not even realize that our outer issues are usually the result of inner wounds. Think about that. So we try all sorts of medications and activities, none of which work. Indeed, they make things worse. Forgiveness, as we wrote about in chapter 1 of this book, is the ointment for inner healing. Inner healing usually brings healing and prosperity to those external issues that we are so concerned with. Like 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So he was praying that, I pray for the prosperity of your soul. Your soul can't prosper without forgiveness. And once your soul starts prospering, then the outer things can start to take place. Most inner wounds are caused by shame, rejection, lack of love, and primarily broken relationships, especially with father figures. God created us for relationships, and to the degree our prime relationships have been less than perfect, which includes all of us, to that same degree we acquire inner wounds. Forgiveness is the process that God created to transfer those wounds to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
What exactly is forgiveness? Too many people, even Christians, have misunderstood forgiveness. Thus, they have been kept in bondage. To forgive is to release from judgment and to give up the right to get even. And when we do not release others from our judgment and give them our right to get even, we place ourselves in the position of a man in the story of Matthew 18 below, who was unwilling to cancel the debt of his fellow slave. If you do not agree and appropriate God's forgiveness, then you will not only be miserable, but you also reap a horrible judgment. We reap the horrible circumstances of unjust judgment we put on others. Holding on to unforgiveness is the same as judgment. Being forgiven is the opposite of judgment. Forgiveness has nothing to do with feelings. It's entirely dependent on our will. If we wait until we feel like forgiving, we will never forgive. This is especially true in situations where the wounds another person has caused are deep. The decision for to forgive is made at our will. If we submit our feelings to God, He will change our feelings in due time. There is something later on in this. I'd like to just kind of bring it to the front right now. We're not going to turn there. It's one of my testimonies. I was terribly abused by a person going back about maybe 25 years ago. He abused me with a lot of false accusations. And I had a very difficult time forgiving him for maybe a year. I just kept over and over and over again. And I learned a lot about forgiveness. And most of it had to do with my feelings. But I remember one time I was driving up to North Georgia. I think it was on I-85 or 75. 75, I think. And I pulled over to a McDonald's to eat breakfast. And as I looked around and walked into McDonald's, I said, "Hey, I'm within about 5 miles from where this guy lives." And I sat there and ate my whatever I ate. And I started thinking about it. And the Lord just dealt with me. He just did that forgiveness in me right then and there. And oddly enough, I have a AAA relationship with this person right now. AAA. Couldn't get any better.
It makes even your enemies.
He makes even your enemies to prosper you in your presence.
This is such a good subject of forgiveness. We can't be free unless we forgive. We just can't. And we do have emotional debts that we can't get rid of. We have emotional debts that we can't get rid of. And the only way that we can get rid of them is to trust Christ and by an act of our will choose to release those people from their debt. Just like God cast our sins in the sea of unforgetfulness. Now what that means is God doesn't have amnesia. God remembers everything. But the distinction is God never chooses to bring it up again because he honors his son Jesus who died for that sin.
Amen, Russ. That's good.
He died for that sin. So when we forgive people, part of forgiveness is choosing not to bring it up again. In other words, accuse the person, make it hard for the person, get even with the person, make it difficult with that person. We choose not to do that. We choose to take the love of Christ and love that person because that person needs forgiveness. They need to be set free as well as we do. And you just don't know what it means to live with a lifestyle and a heart of forgiveness. Just like Larry's example there is a good physical example in the sense that when somebody sins against you, when you're living in Jesus, you're able to see the sin and hate the sin and love the person. Instead of taking on, like he was accusing him, he took on that spirit of accusation and he could have fought back. You see, that's the way the Spirit works.
That's right.
Now, when he looked at him, he saw a spirit of accusation, and he forgave the person, but he hated the sin, and it didn't affect him. He was able to love that person. There's so much in forgiveness.
Amen. And you know, you reminded me of something. Go ahead, finish up.
What you just reminded me of is not bringing up again, and that can happen in a close relationship. Especially with a spouse.
You bring it up in subtle
ways. Even if you just subtly bring it up.
Yeah. You bring it up in subtle ways by not talking, not cooperating, not loving, not forgiving, not serving, just being there and being indifferent. You ever notice that? You ever experience that? I'm not talking to you anymore. And this might go on for a week. But guess what? Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Doesn't work. You die. You die when you do that. I forgave my dad when I was 51.
Wow.
50 years.
Wow.
I had that umbilical cord connected to my dad where I couldn't get free. And I couldn't even love him. You know, I didn't want to talk to him because I didn't perceive love from him when I grew up. Now, the issue was he loved me, but he couldn't demonstrate it to me in a way that was effective. Love is always in the eyes of the beholder. You can love someone with all your heart, but if it doesn't look like love to them,
it doesn't work.
Amen.
So you have to understand what looks like love to them. It might be a touch. It might be a word. It might be doing something for them. It might be just holding them in your arms. You know, you never know.
That's right. That's right.
But different children have different ways of receiving love because God's made them different. And so we have to learn what works with other people. And sometimes you have to ask the other person, what feels like love to you?
Amen.
What feels like love to you? Oh, I feel love when, fill in the blanks, and you say, whoa, I never even thought of that.
It's different with love in many
yeah.
people.
So what is love to me, I can't use to love someone else. I have to find out what their love looks like. Mine won't particularly work for them. They need to find out what my love looks like. Then you have unity, especially with spouses.
Especially.
So forgiveness is a big thing. And here's an issue. And whether you're a secular counselor or a Christian counselor, everyone that comes into a counselor's office, 95 to 98% of them need to deal with forgiveness. They need to deal with it. They need to learn what it looks like and execute it. And we really focus on that when we counsel.
Now I want to make one comment about Russ. Isn't it interesting when we talk about overcoming, how after you overcome something, you're used to help other people? Look at Russ, what he went through. He had to go through this late forgiveness in his life, but look how many people he's ministering to right now about what? Forgiveness.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention another aspect of this. Have any of you felt like, oh, I thought I had forgiven them, and here this thought comes again? That's the enemy, y'all. The enemy wants you to think you haven't forgiven.
Amen.
So he's going to even, he speaks to us through the Spirit.
Now you're talking.
God speaks to us through the Spirit. But when the thing comes back and you think, oh, Lord, I thought I had forgiven them. No, you have forgiven them. That's where your healing starts. When you recognize you have forgiven that person and you say, no, I have chosen to forgive them, and by the grace of God, I'm going to walk in that. That's when God starts healing your heart. And you start, one day you say, oh, that doesn't bother me anymore. But don't let the enemy deceive you in thinking you haven't forgiven just because that thought comes. Because the enemy puts thoughts there, you just don't have to get in agreement with it.
Amen.
Here's our experience in counseling, especially with Christians. Have you forgiven that person? The response is, oh yes, I forgave him a long time ago. Now, here's what happens. They spend the next 20 minutes telling us what's wrong with that person. That's not a forgiving heart. But the scripture says, unless you forgive from your heart, not in declaration, not with words, but with heart, which means you totally release it from your soul and spirit. That person hasn't done anything to you in the name of Jesus.
What you said is the difficult part.
That's a difficult part. And I think the only way that we execute that is entrust our life to God, to Jesus, and walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And not be affected or governed by our flesh. Because the enemy is working through our flesh, through our soul and our flesh.
Amen.
To do his bidding. And he's into separation. He wants to separate you from God, others, and self. And God wants to unify you because God is into relationships. So the Trinity is a perfect relationship.
Amen.
And he's made us for that kind of relationship. And we have different relationships with our children, with our parents, with our spouse, with our friends, different levels of friendship. But we got to have relationships or we're not whole. We don't have peace.
Amen.
Hand the
microphone to Dan.
Oh, okay, Dan.
This is going to end it.
This will end in a question. Many years ago, my sister and I entered into a relationship with a self-professing Christian attorney who had been disbarred. So we entered into the relationship trusting in him that his relationship with Christ was correct, and we had we're not unequally yoked. Once we started this company to finance church loans, to create church loans, I went on a mission trip to Germany. When I came back, he had stolen the company from me and my sister. I forgave him of that. As you said, forgiveness is an act of will. And I forgave him for that. So much so later that I had an idea for another company, and I got him involved in it, and he tried to steal that from me. And I went to some other brothers, and we basically had a face down, and he backed off, and so did I. But I forgave him for that too. But I believe that one of the fruits of forgiveness is wisdom. Now, I've learned it the hard way, but the wisdom is that I don't position myself again with that particular person in a relationship that's financial.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes you have to have boundaries. It's not like I'm forgetting it. It's not like I'm forgetting it. It's just that wisdom predicates on something else.
You know, you're so right about wisdom. And you're so right about all of the areas of forgiveness in our life. And when I was a little girl, when I was 6 years old, my father died, and we adored him. He was just everything to my mother, my brother, who was 2.5 years older than me, and myself. I was in first grade, and bullies smell blood, and I was sensitive. Daddy had died, and these bullies started in on me that I didn't have a dad. My daddy was dead. And I mean, really gave me a bad time. And one of them was kind of a ringleader of it. And at that time, his father was a sheriff in the community. And it made me feel really bad about myself when I was little. And then, when I was a little bit older or whatever, I just always remember thinking, you know, he was a bad deal. I grew up as a teenager. I received Christ. And through all of these years, you know, I had thought I had forgiven him. Because when you're under forgiveness teachings, you're always examining your heart. One day, about 28 years ago, I was a Harry Norman real estate agent. And I was over at Perimeter for some hotel, for some meeting, for big luncheon, you know, for a lot of realtors. This woman sat down beside me, you know, and I was very friendly with her, you know, where are you from, that kind of thing. That always starts off a conversation, and you can bond. She was from a small town. She was from Dublin, and I'm from Eastman, which is about 30 miles apart. And, you know, there was a connection. We were talking, and I didn't expect her to know anybody from my hometown, but she did. And my heart sank when she said she had dated this boy from my hometown. And my heart thought, oh, I looked at her and I said, he was a bad egg. And before I could tell her, well, I started to tell her what a bully he was to me as a child. And she was a strong Christian. God always plants brothers and sisters around us. And she looked at me and she said, have you forgiven him? And it settled in me. I thought, you know, for me to have felt that way, to tell her he was a bad egg, I must have something in there. So in my heart, I went through you know, some real soul searching and some real forgiveness. And, you know, my brother in my home CPA had told me all along that this guy is a good man. Well, interestingly enough, a couple of months after I saw this lady, there was a 20th high school reunion in my hometown for my class. Larry went with me. And this guy is being so friendly with Larry and me. And you know he's a good egg now. He's a Christian. He's got 5 kids.
He couldn't show us enough love.
He could not. And it was like he knew how he had treated me as a child, you know. But God had prepared my heart by having that lady sit at the table with me that day. And I hadn't thought about him in years. But you see, God knows how to go into the closets of our hearts because he's concerned about us. And he knows that he wants, you know, to heal us. What if I'd gone to that reunion? And what if I wouldn't speak to him? I mean, I'm not natured like that, but what if I had in my heart? God wanted that out of my heart, didn't he? God cares that much about us. I just felt like sharing that with you guys. You know, we're all overcomers. We've all had overcome pain in our life. Pain that is staggering sometimes. But Jesus is the healer. He says in his word, he's the healer, doesn't he?
Amen.
And if we will trust him, he will heal those areas inside of us. Larry, ask Stacy if she'll close it.
Briefly, you know, unless you come to me as a little child, you know, this may be hypothetical, but let's just say Gabriel and Micah are at the playground or in the backyard and fussing with one another about something, and it comes to they're wrestling with one another physically, and then that's the end of it. They get up and have their arms around one another and start playing again. Yet we as adults go the route of, Russ mentioned, I'm not going to talk to that person. So maybe a decade goes by. You don't even know why you're angry with the person anymore. And then it blossoms into something like Brother Reggie has been to West Virginia and preached in that area where the Hatfields and the McCoys for decades have been at one another. And it's just sort of passed down. And for what? Well, I'm not sure, but that's a Hatfield. And I'm a McCoy, you know?
Yugoslavia. Larry's family's background.
Stacy, you want to close it first?
Lord, thank you so much for this word this morning. And I just pray that you would, I thank you for your spirit that searches all things. And I ask you, Lord, just to search our hearts and show us the areas where we've thought we've forgiven and we haven't, or where we've just kind of forgiven intellectually but not really let it go down into our hearts, or whatever the case is, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, to just start doing a work where you really search us and go deep in us to reveal all the hidden things that we've hidden away, Lord, in our own flesh and tried to deal with. And just remind us, Lord, how much you've forgiven us, and so that we can pick up and move on and put one foot in front of the other and just move forward in you, Lord. We pray for the service today. We pray that your anointing would be there on whoever's preaching, and it'd be awesome, and that we would have ears to hear what you're saying to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.